Have a seat, please. This morning, I'm blessed to share and continue to share on the subject of the renewed mind, which we've been kind of handling in the different teachings for the last number of weeks. That may be a new concept to some. Maybe you've never heard of that term before, but it is mentioned in the Bible in Romans chapter 12. And so I'd like for you to turn there, if you would, for a moment. The title of this teaching is called The Transforming Power of Love. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is some sort of event that takes place when we introduce the light of God's Word into this brain. There is a transformation that takes place, and if you understand the context of Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's not Romans 1, 1, is it? No, it's Romans chapter 12, which means there have been 11 previous chapters to Romans chapter 12. So, you know, the question may just logically come up then, well, what then would we be renewing our minds to? Well, I think if you logically think about it, it would be the information that's been presented in Romans chapter 1 through 8 especially, because Romans 9 through 11 are really a parenthetical insertion that give a greater explanation. So there's a tremendous doctrinal section in the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 8, and then this practical section begins with this exhortation to the Christians is to renew your mind and to then be transformed. And I like to look different times at other translations just to get a greater sense of the verse. Jan Majera, in her Aramaic translation, verse 2 says, "And do not imitate this world, but be turned the other way by the renewal of your minds and distinguish what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Amplified Bible says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God," this is verse 1, "to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world or the patterns of this age, fashioned after and adopted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." That's a lot of words. Bottom line is that as we believe God's Word and we put it into our minds, we're transformed. And this is the interesting thing, is that God's the one who does the transforming. He changes us into what we could never be on our own, and into what He desires for us to be, and to be able to carry out that which He desires. Because the information that's given in Romans chapters 1 through 8 describes what Trish and Jan have spoken about in previous weeks, and that is that there's a new nature. It's a new nature that has been placed in the Christian believer miraculously by God's grace. And then as we introduce the greatness, the light of God's Word, we're transformed into what it would be that God would have us to be. This transforming power of love, it changes us so that we can be able, strong, and be able to be wise children of God, in that we manifest the characteristics of Jesus Christ. That's the nature that we've been given, is the very nature that has given us brotherhood with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our everyday life, in our everyday walk, it is potentially possible for us to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. He was our example. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says that you have what? Christ where? In you. That gives you some tremendous ability, see? And that ability is energized by the power and the strength of the love of God that's resident within your life the moment you got born again. See, renewing your mind, introducing the light of God's Word into this brain allows God to go to work to perform that great transformation. You know, this word in the Greek is like that transformation that takes place between a caterpillar and a butterfly. You know what? The caterpillar doesn't really do a lot of effort, does he? To make that thing happen. I mean, he spins the cocoon around himself. And then basically what? He like goes into hibernation or something. Goes into this dormant state. But then when that whole process inside there evolves, the thing breaks open and this little caterpillar flies away. Beautiful butterfly, right? That's the word, transform. So you see, it's a miraculous work of God that as we simply introduce the light of God's Word, that God then goes ahead and begins to transform us into what we could never be in our own strength. That we bring forth those qualities of the nature of Jesus Christ that by our own attempts, we would really fail miserably. So I want to look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. You see, there's a great cry of the human heart for people to understand who they are. Many of us who spent years before we really had an accurate knowledge of God's Word searched for value in our lives. We searched for love in all the wrong places, maybe. Search for an identification, maybe with the Grateful Dead or Pink Floyd or some, you know, that's the 70s, 60s, 70s, maybe, I don't know what it is today, you know. But still, there is an identification that does still go with music because you see it. You see it on high schools, you see it in college campuses that, you know, whoever, you know, it is in these bands, in the music industry that people idolize, they start dressing like them. They start looking like them. You know, Britney Spears and Madonna changed an entire culture of the way girls dress. They did. And, you know, even Christian people have accepted those ways of doing things because it's been introduced into the culture as sort of an acceptable way of behavior. It's amazing what kind of influence musicians can really have in our world. But anyway, you know what? People seek for an identity. They want to know, who am I? What is my purpose here? Where am I going? What am I doing? See? And that's one of the great things that Romans chapters 1 through 8 teaches. It teaches you who you are. It teaches you what you have. And it teaches you where you're going. Those are three pretty nice things to know. It's very helpful. 1 John chapter 3... Verse 1, I'll read this from the Aramaic, and it says, "And see how great is the love of the Father towards us, because He has called us, even made us sons. Because of this, the world does not know us, because it did not even know Him. My beloved ones, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we are going to be, but we know that when He is revealed, we will be in His likeness. And we will see Him as He is." The identity that we have as Christians, as people who are filled with the Spirit of God, is that we are sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. Fathered by God. God is the Father, the Spirit nature that He's placed within each and every one of us. And yes, God can communicate to that Spirit that's within us. In the Amplified, it says, "See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted as the children of God. And so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know or acknowledge Him. Beloved, we, even here and now, are God's children. It is not yet disclosed or made clear what we shall be hereafter. But we know that when He comes and is manifested, we shall, as God's children, resemble and be like Him, for we shall see Him just as He really is. And what a great, fabulous, fantastic, I don't know what other word you could give to it, day that's going to be. But see, maybe one of the simple points in this whole deal is, and one of the great weaknesses in the Christian church, believe it or not, is reading the Bible. That Christian people, a lot of times, that's one of the few things, that's one of the things that really gets squeezed out of their day. They just don't read the Bible. And so, that's going to be one of my first points here. Read the Bible. Read the Bible, see and believe who you are, what you are, where you are. Because, see, it's only in Christ's completed work of love that you are complete, that you are made fully whole, you are enabled. And the Word of God is what unfolds that to us. You know, that's why these Sunday fellowships, other fellowships, teaching seminars, different things are so wonderful, because they continue to give us a knowledge of who we are, but then we're exhorted by God, the Word of God, to not just gather knowledge. Because I believe there is a verse in the Bible that says knowledge does something to your head. It puffs you up. Well, those other Christians are so stupid. I mean, you know, right there in the Word. I mean, I know that. And you know what? Almost to a point where we couldn't ever learn anything from anyone else because, you know, we know it. That's a little arrogant, really. But for us to, with a great sense of humility, to be able to just open the Scriptures, to read the Bible, to see it, to believe it, who you are, where you are, what you are, and to realize that it's only in Christ's completed work that you are completely complete. We're in 1 John here. Let's look at chapter 4. Remember, the title of this is The Transforming Power of Love. God's nature, God's goodness, God's kindness, God's ability, working on our behalf can only be by God's grace and mercy and love. See, because we, by our own works, our own credentials, personality, whatever, basically we don't deserve it. But God sees fit to give it to us. 1 John chapter 4, starting verse 7. This has once been called the badge of Christianity. And the devil works super hard to keep this from happening. You know, he'd much rather see people divided than loving one another. But here it is, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. Verse 11, Beloved, if God so love us, we ought also to love one another. You know, God is kind of mentioning this over and over and over again, like, maybe somewhat important for us to have that kind of loving attitude and humility of mind as we go through our lives. But not just love for the body, love for others, love for yourself too. You look in the mirror, you don't feel so darn guilty, you know, because something happened or whatever, that you have enough love for yourself to realize you're still a human being. You're not perfect and you never will be. And that God is really the one who is. And we can look towards Him for sure. But you know what verse 12 says? No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. His love is perfected in us. And hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're walking, talking love machines. I mean, we're the greatest lovers this world has ever known, ever seen, and ever could possibly have even dreamed of. You know, you talk about, you know, whoever the most romantic guy or woman in the world was. Who was that, Don Juan or somebody? You could just schmooze any, you know, female, sweep her off her feet, carry her away into the sunset type of thing. You know what? We've got such a higher, greater, nobler, honorable type of love to really be able to drive our hearts and minds into. And that's really what people see. That's what it really attracted me to the Word years ago. It wasn't so much the, you know, the knowledge of the Scriptures, that sort of thing. It was actually somebody actually cared about me and was really kind of willing to listen to, you know, my woes and troubles and things like that with sort of an emotional attachment, and then be able to really direct and lead me to a greater understanding of the Word and how much God really loved me. So there was that whole acceptance thing, and it was really a, you know, a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, Jesus Christ instructed his disciples in John 13. He said, "By this shall all men know you, that you love one another." So, you know, the question becomes to us is, you know, and a lot of times I feel like I'm kind of preaching to the choir here with many of you, because you've probably heard these same words many times from different people. Some of you maybe not so much. But, you know, we have to just, you know, evaluate our own actions, our own thoughts in terms of the quality of love that we walk in. And, you know, it's a good question. But, you know, wherever we are, whoever we're with, if we are being transformed, we're going to exhibit the qualities of a love that could only come from God. Only come from God. And you know what? If you don't know how to do that so much, I have a very simple solution. Ask God. Ask God how to love yourself and others. Ask God, and then have a willingness to do whatever it is he shows you to do. See, this isn't just, you know, we come and blessed to have some bagels and hang out and hear good teaching and, you know, love, all this other stuff. It's that this Word of God really becomes practical in that we really learn how to ask God, how to converse with our Father. How, you know, and for a lot of us maybe who didn't have, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I didn't really have the greatest upbringing in that. I didn't really have a touchy-feely type of relationship with my own earthly father. He never really spoke a lot of loving words or said, "I love you, son. You're the best. Get out there. Go." You know, we as believers, we do that many times. And so then, you know, you get in the Word and you all of a sudden you see God loves you unconditionally, and he, you know, he's just there for you all the time. And, you know, you just kind of scratch your head a little bit and you're like, "What is that all about?" You know, so it takes time to really begin to get a feel and a grasp on, you know, that God really loves you. Just the way you are, right here, all your frailties, all your imperfections, all your weaknesses, all your strong qualities, we're much harder on ourselves than God is. We expect so much more from ourselves, you know. But once we really learn that God loves us unconditionally, it's like a whole new day begins. See? So ask God how to love. See? And you know what? In a world that is so filled with envy, jealousy, strife, the desire to get ahead, I'll stomp on you if I have to, as long as I get there. Because really, you know what? That's what it's all about, me getting there. Because really, this life's all about me. You see, that's a very worldly philosophy, to step on people, use people to get where you want to get to. But the world is filled with that sort of thing, and many of us work in secular positions where we're working with people who think like that, and it brings up very interesting challenges at times. But you know what? The love nature that we have, it's so refreshing. It's such a healing departure from the fear and the torment that is readily accepted by society. Fear is the prevailing attitude in the world. That's why many times people are so willing to step on each other people along the way and make themselves look good along the way, because, you know, God forbid that somebody should really see them for what they are. Fear. But you know what? We have a new way of thinking, right? According to God's word, a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of loving. It brings answers. It brings peace in times of such great desperate need. 1 John 4:18, we're right there. Aramaic, there is no fear in love. But complete love throws out fear, because fear is dangerous. Now he who fears is not completed in love. Amplified, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. You see, according to what God's word says, we have been completely, 100% delivered from the power of fear, right? Fear has torment. It's not something that we really want, see, in our lives. It says there is no fear, none, in love. It's amazing. You know, that's really a radical, revolutionary way of thinking. And we don't do it from an arrogant, egotistical point of view. You know, I'm not afraid of anything but God. You know? No, we do it from a perspective of humility. See, that we don't have to be afraid, therefore we can be loving. See? 2 Timothy 1:7. Anybody remember what that says? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. See, we're so privileged to know about God's love. In the day-to-day operating of the transforming power, it resides in our humble attitude of obedience and in God's goodness and grace. See, in a time of great despair, and for many people great anxiety, we really have a message of hope. We have a great message of promise. See? And so something to think about is that we're fearless in love. And we exercise the power with humility. We walk in a world that is so filled with ego, pride, arrogance. Everybody's trying to be better than the next person. And yet God's word says, be humble. Be loving. Be kind. What a contrast. See? What a contrast. And here we are. But the greatest thing we have is we have the relationship with God. God says that as we just open the scriptures, put his word on, which is the light of God in our minds, we're going to be transformed into becoming what he wants us to be, which is Christ-like. We become Christ-like, not in our own effort, but in that transformation that God works within us on the inside. So we can be fearless. And we learn to exercise the power. And we walk with great humility. You know, as we exhibit Christ to the world today, we show the goodness of God, his kindness, and that the transformation that has been brought to our lives and can be brought to the lives of other people can truly bring favor and joy to a person's life. The opportunity is ripe. The harvest truly is plenteous. But we must ask ourselves an honest question. And to do that, I've picked a song many of you maybe have heard before. I've asked Fred and Sean to cue it up and play it. It's by Scott Powell, really wonderful Christian musician. I think it challenges us to think about our lives, the opportunities that present themselves, And I think this is a challenge that's presented here that each and every one of us face every day. So if you gentlemen are ready, we will do that.
He came home from work last night to find that she had gone. Now he's spending his first Sunday sitting in a pew alone. There are whispers all around him, and his heart breaks in two. He's wondering who's gonna reach out, help him make it through. Who will be Jesus to him? Who'll show the love that restores him again? Well, he does not need a judge, no, he needs a friend. Who will be Jesus to him? She's got a reputation like the woman at the well. The only love she's ever known is the kind you buy and sell. But her thirsty heart is searching for a love that will be true. The Savior cries for her to see himself in me and you. Who will be Jesus to her? Who'll show the love that's commanded in his word? Will she see in us the mighty God we serve? Who will be Jesus to her? There's wounded people there everywhere. When they look at us, do they see Jesus there? Who will be Jesus to them? Who showed love that restores them again? Well, they do not need a judge, no, they need a friend. Oh, yeah. Who will be Jesus to them? Who will be Jesus to them? Who will be Jesus?
In the name of Jesus Christ, for that spirit that's been placed within us, thank you for the heart of love that you've shown to us, Father, and placed within us as well. And that as we just simply introduce your love, your light into our minds, Father, the greatest transformation of all time takes place. That we can be Christ to the world, Father, that we absolutely take the place of the absent Christ. And that plenty of opportunities are there for each and every one of us, each and every day, Father, to love people, not to judge them, but to help them out of whatever holes, whatever prisons, whatever captivity they may find themselves in. And Lord, we thank you that this wonderful body of believers here. There's a great glory, and it brings great praise to your heart this morning. And Father, may we be good stewards and faithful men and women to walk forward to the best of our ability upon the promises of your word with your help. And we thank you, God, that we can be really humble in our obedience and in our desire to serve you. And Father, that we're not religious about it, but that we just really appreciate the relationship that we find ourselves in. So we thank you for this. Thank you for a wonderful morning. Thank you for the Claytons being here. And, the love that they'll take back to their area as a result of being here this morning. Thank you for all of our loved ones in different types of situations, those who desire healing, those who need emotional healing and physical healing, other areas, Father, that it truly is you that can bring it into manifestation. So we pray for this, and we praise your glorious name in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.